And good evening, Cuse Nation, and welcome back to another season of Syracuse University Men's Basketball and our fourth season of the Upstate Orange podcast on FingerLakes1.tv and YouTube. We're coming at you live inside the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. It's Sunday, November 9th, 2014, and we'll be with you every Sunday night throughout the season. Last year, we were normally live on Thursday. This year, we're moving to Sunday night. I've got my co-hosts Matt Verke and Brad Connor standing by, and we've got a ton to talk about tonight. The Upstate Orange podcast is brought to you this season by Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Be sure to check out their mobile banking app or visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by Madej, Miris, and Ricky, your hometown personal injury attorneys. If you've been injured and deserve compensation, call the Finger Lakes Personal Injury Hotline at 315-568-0911 or visit their website at madejmirisricky.com. Well, Brad and Verk, let's talk some Syracuse hoops for another season. What do you say? You guys ready to go?
Let's do this.
Absolutely.
Got Matt Verke back with us, former William & Mary standout. We got Brad Connor via telephone in Cincinnati, Ohio, a resident hoops junkie. And you got me, who every bracket I've ever picked, I got Syracuse winning it all. So I'm the kind of blinded by the orange. Brad's the numbers guy, and Verk's the realist. What more could you want?
Got it all.
So listen, guys, before we start talking about the season, I just want to touch real quick on the NCAA investigation. It's kind of putting a damper on the season for me. Season kicks off Friday night as we host Kennesaw State. Is it a black cloud for you guys? You guys concerned about this?
I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into it. It seems like, Syracuse had suspended some guys. Obviously, everybody knows about the whole Fab Mello thing. Hopefully it's just some minor academic things that, that Coach Boeheim and the program took care of. They also rearranged their academic situation and who's running all that and who the compliance. They fired some people and brought some new people in. So, hopefully that was good enough for the NCAA and we don't see any kind of major sanctions.
Yeah, it seems like we're being proactive, and we held Mello out of the tournament and Sutherland long suspensions. I mean, it seems like we're trying to do things right. Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, it feels like it has to be related to those situations that we already know about. I mean, I think the encouraging thing they said was that it has nothing to do with any current players, and so you would hope that if there are sanctions or any sort of anything handed down, that it won't be as severe because the punishment on the current guys wouldn't be fair. Now, we know the NCAA is not as predictable as that, but it I don't think it puts a damper on it, I don't think. I mean, I don't think they would, we're still going to watch Syracuse basketball, and we're still going to watch them in the same way we'd always watch them. If the tournament's out of the question, well, we're still going to watch them during the course of the season in the same way, and I think it's still going to provide the same level of enjoyment for us.
Well, I don't. A postseason ban would hurt. Not going to lie, but I don't think it's going to be to that extent. Especially when you compare it to some of the stuff that's been going on in North Carolina. But we initiated a lot of this ourselves. We self-reported it. The worst part of it, though, is like, hey, guess what? We're going to have the hearing on like a couple weeks before the season starts. Then we'll tell you in 60 days or so. So, it's just like usual. It seems like the big news by the NCAA gets dropped at the worst possible times. And, if it was a rational, reasonable organization that was conducting this investigation, then I'd probably feel pretty good about it. But with the NCAA, all bets are off. Their punishments that they've levied for different infractions over the recent years have not made any sense. So that's a little unsettling. But nothing we can do about it, guys. So that's why I just wanted to get that out of the way, and the rest of the show we can talk hoops, and let's get it right underway with our Big Five questions. And number one, can Syracuse reload yet again after losing C.J. Fair, Jeremy Grant, and Tyler Ennis, and by Musikita? Or is this going to be a rebuilding year where we find ourselves in and out of the top 25? What do you think, Virk?
You know, looking at the list you prepared here where it shows what they've lost over, you know, this people who've gone pro earlier, seniors graduating over the last 4 years, it's amazing what they've been able to do to keep the program at such an elite level, probably the best one of the best five-year runs in Syracuse basketball history, probably, when you look at wins and, you know, Elite Eights and stuff like that. I'm a little concerned probably more this year than any other year, just given that, you know, our leading returner is Trevor Cooney, our leading returning scorer. You know,
yeah, we lose a lot of points.
You know, he averaged 12 points again. Then our stud is supposed to be Raheem Christmas, who averaged 5 points a game last year. I think when you look over those years past, they, you know, 1 year when we lost Joseph Waiters, Mello, you know, we returned Michael Carter Williams was a sophomore on that team, didn't play a lot as a freshman, but we had a guy like Trish,
right,
who, you know, was a 4 year starter at the time. We don't really have that. You know, Raheem Christmas is a senior, but, you know, he hasn't really done all that much so far in his career. You know, he averaged 5 points a game last year. I think this year more than any other, we got to hope that the two freshmen are as good as we hope they're going to be.
Right. What do you think, Brad? Rebuilding year or have we reloaded?
No, I think our expectation levels are high because of what we've seen the last few years, and rightly so. I think they got the talent to be able to do what they've done in past years. I think it's good that they've been perceived sort of under the radar a little bit, because that's when we've seen Coach Boeheim and these guys do their best work, really. When the expectations are high, I think they can only underachieve in that sense. And so I think they can pick right up where they left off. Obviously, you're missing some key pieces, but, I think Christmas is going to make, you know, everything Coach Boeheim says, Christmas is going to take a leap this year. And, you know, you think to Rick Jackson, I think, in right. the comparison, hopefully we can see something like that. You know, they've had a different point guard every year for the last 4 years. I have no reason to think that it's going to be any different this year with the way, Caleb Joseph can step in and do what Ennis did last year and Carter Williams did the year before that. And, you know, Scoop is in and out of the lineup. And so I think it's reload rather than rebuild, quite frankly.
You know, in 2013 and 14, if they could replace Mookie Jones, I don't think we have anything to worry about going to this year, you know?
Yeah, they lose Scoop, Joseph, Waiters, Fab Mello, and Mookie Jones and go to the Final Four, which was something people didn't see coming. So, and I agree, Brad, that we're looking for a Rick Jackson-like senior year out of Raheem Christmas. I think Christmas is going to have his best year by far yet, and mainly because Boeheim's not going to have the quick hook on him all the time. He's a senior now, and Boeheim generally, you know, lets his seniors get their run and do what they got to do. As long as Rack stays out of foul trouble, he's going to get tons of minutes. And if the first exhibition game against Carleton was any indication, they're going to pound it to the post to him when they need important baskets. And he was delivering against Carleton. So we'll see how he does against that freshman at Duke that Duke's got coming in at center. Let's move ahead to questions.
We haven't really seen that style of offense in a long time from these guys, where they're really centered around the inside game. And I'm excited to see what happens with Christmas and McCullough as well. If they really go to, you know, kind of pounding it inside, doing a lot of high low action rather than everything, you know, generating from the outside.
Well, that brings us to our second Big Five question. And that's, can our freshmen step in and keep things going? We got Caleb Joseph replacing Tyler Ennis. And then the way I saw it, after watching the exhibition game, you got Chris McCullough kind of filling the void of C.J. Fair and Jeremy Grant. McCullough is big, long, lanky, and athletic like Jeremy Grant was at the three, able to play the three. And like C.J. Fair, who played the three and the four. McCullough's got a nice mid-range game, it looks like. So I almost see him filling a couple of big shoes there. But, I feel really good about McCullough. He looks to me to be, you know, everything is advertised and could be one of our leading scorers. And then Caleb Joseph in his first game in the Carrier Dome, what did he do, have 17 points?
Yeah,
Yeah.
26 minutes, 19 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, only 1 turnover on 7-9 shooting. And he showed more of an offensive nose for the rim, I guess, than Ennis did last year and the guys like Brandon Trish or Scoop had. And that was his first game. So, hey, you know, I'm think that the freshmen are going to step in. There might be some early bumps in the road, but this will be the type of Boeheim team that continues to improve throughout the end of the year, peaks at the end of the year, where last year we get off to the hot start and everybody starts thinking about the NBA draft and everything goes to crap. So what do you think about our freshman, Virk? Is it too much to ask? Because these two guys look like they're going to be our main guys.
Yeah. The least of my worries on this team is probably Caleb Joseph. You know, I just think he's going to step right in and do well. McCullough, I'm still not sold on. I don't know. You know, like Jeremy Grant struggled a little bit as a freshman. You know, he obviously improved a ton as a sophomore. I just hope McCullough is a he's got to be a stud for this team to be good, I think. And
I agree with you.
I know everybody's high on him. He's he can go so high, but you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're saying he's one and done, but it's all on potential. And some of these guys who are one and done don't have that great of college careers, but they're just athletic freaks and they get drafted high. He's going to have to produce for the Syracuse team in order for them to do well this year.
He needs to have a one and done type of year, I think. And so that would be unfortunate that another guy's coming through. But if it's a type of one and done of a, you know, Carmelo Anthony, then that would be good. Brad, what do you think about the freshman?
Yeah, I'd agree with Burke. I think Joseph's the guy that I think we can probably count on a bit more, and or especially early. You know, I think it's going to take McCullough a bit more time to kind of get his feet under him. And I do think that, you know, the expectations are probably higher than maybe they should be for him. You know, he's a five-star recruit coming in, but, you know, those guys don't tend to hit the ground running right away, especially in this program. I think Boeheim tends to take the big guys a little bit more slowly, whereas the freshman guards, he really kind of throws into the mix.
You know, I'm surprised, though, Brad.
I think it'll take a couple of time, but, he's a guy that, you know, in the second half of the season is really gonna step up, I think.
You know, they start McCullough at the three. So we got a big lineup right there. The guy's 6'10". He's starting at the three. You know, that's like an NBA move, not – you know, college move. And when you watch McCullough with the ball, and you know, he can play the three, he can really do it all out there. He can step back and shoot the three, he can score inside, he's got a nice arc on his jumper, he gets the ball up quick, and he can shoot over everybody. And as I talked about Joseph's nose for the rim on offense, I think we're going to have a lot easier time scoring this year, because Ennis was more of a plotting, conservative approach. Joseph, I think, is kind of the opposite of that. And, you know, I don't know what happened with CJ towards the end of last year in the shooting. And you know, and Grant was a freak athletically, but at the end of the day, he wasn't very polished. He's off to the NBA. We're going to miss him coming across the lane and blocking shots and dunking putbacks. But in terms of a half-court offense, you know, I think we might be a little better off this year because of the two freshmen. And then we got Chinoso Aboko, not a true freshman, a redshirt freshman. And against Carleton, when he was on the court, he looked a little lost.
I think that's going to be a problem. Christmas, as we know, is prone for foul trouble. And in years past, it wasn't that big of a drop-off. Obviously, offensively, you know, Baikita is not as good as Christmas. But defensively, he's probably as good, if not better. You know, he really did a great job of directing traffic in that zone for Syracuse. So that's going to be an issue. They don't really have a – I know McCullough in the played a little bit of the five spot in that exhibition game. And, you know, that just tells you where they're at right now. I think
Roberson's going to need to get in there a little bit sometimes. I don't think we're going to be counting on Aboko to fill Baikita's shoes.
Yeah, where you're missing a DeJuan Coleman who could, you know, get in there and play that five spot if needed.
And hopefully we will see Coleman soon. But let's move on to question three. And we kind of touched on this early, but can Rakeem Christmas deliver on his potential this senior year? I think we all agree that one way or another, whether he doesn't have to be the leading scorer, but he's certainly going to need to log some important minutes 35, 36 minutes a game in the center position. He's going to need to anchor the defense. And yeah, it's he's going to need to score. We're going to need to go to him on the post. He's the senior, and that's, you know, the Bayham's going to live and die by him. So, I mean, Virk, you've never been a huge Rakeem Christmas fan. What's it going to take for you to turn around on Rakeem Christmas this year? What's he got to do?
He's going to have to stay on the floor, I think, is the biggest thing. He can't afford to be in foul trouble. Like I just touched on, when he's out of the game, it's going to be a big drop-off for him this year. They're going to have to switch things around. Who knows? Maybe offensively, you know, if they end up, even if McCullough can play the five or, you know, Roberson or something, it might make him a little better. A different, you know, go small kind of, and have some more guys who can put the ball in the basket. But he's a huge key this year, and you know, I don't know why all of a sudden this year is he going to be good compared to last year. You know, he averaged 5 points a game last year.
Well, a lot of guys scoring last year. Boeheim still, he's kind of one of Boeheim's doghouse guys. But Brad, what do you think? Is Rat going to come through this year?
I like to think so. You know, everything Boeheim said is that he's been the most impressive guy leading into the season. And, you know, I think the issue is, you know, we've got this comparison with Rick Jackson, which I mentioned earlier, and it'd be great if he could do that. But I'm not sure how many guys we've seen, with the exception of Jackson, have really taken that leap in his senior year.
Onuwaku? What about Arinze?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Onuwaku. He was hurt. He was in and out of the lineup a little bit that way. I mean, I don't think
he had a redshirt year.
I don't think he had. Yeah, he did. And you know, it wasn't as if he was an extraordinarily higher scorer in his senior year than he was prior to that. I think he was just always solid. I think Jackson took that leap. You'd like to think Christmas can. The thing I'm concerned about is, does he have it in him? You know, is he that take charge, give me the ball, get out of my way kind of player? I haven't seen it. I would love to say that I can see that from him this year. I don't know. Until I can see that in a, you know, a game that matters, I think the jury will still be out.
Well, let's move on to question number four. And it's kind of odd this year. We got a bunch of sophomores coming back, and it's really unsure who's going to, you know, contribute. Because last year, none of them really contributed. Roberson's the one with the most potential. Patterson knocked down a bunch of threes against Carleton, and BJ Johnson, you know, continued to just really not do much. Which sophomore do you think are going to have the biggest impact, Brad?
Yeah, I think Ron Patterson. I think he's got a real opportunity, and that's not even based on what we saw against Carleton. I think that's based on the fact that I don't know what we're going to get from Trevor Cooney this season, and Patterson is the most likely candidate to really step right in for Cooney if he continues to be the sort of hot and cold player that we've seen. You know, Patterson's got a real opportunity to do a lot of important things for this team. Roberson, I feel like he's just going to be the guy that's in and out of the lineup and in the doghouse, and he's going to never get to where Boeheim thinks he's going to be, and so he's going to, you know, get the quick hook. And I mean, Roberson's an important piece, but I think Patterson, you know, he's got the most potential to really kind of take that jump this year from where he was last season.
What do you think, Virk?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Brad. And just based on the fact that I've never been a big Trevor Cooney fan, you know, Patterson's got a great opportunity. You know, if he can basically make open threes, which is really all that Trevor Cooney does, I would assume that. I haven't seen Patterson play a whole lot, but I assume he can handle the ball better than Trevor Cooney. You would have
to
think.
He's active in the defense. You know, he's active in the defense.
Yeah, you know, and Cooney's a good defender too.
Yeah,
that's probably
his one redeeming quality.
Yeah, but it'd be nice. You know, it'd be nice if he could be a guy who could come in and, you know, give you some outside shooting, because this team, kind of just like last year's team, outside of Cooney, you know, who's going to knock down some threes for him?
Yeah, and I look at, you know, you hope Patterson will be a consistently good shooter. He doesn't have to make five every night, but, you know, could shoot 2 for 5, you know, just be
take
able
that all day long.
And Roberson, you know, we saw some flashes last year, and this year you want him to be the breakout guy, but you know, like you said, Brad, Boeheim gives him the quick hook, and you can tell it's tough for a player to get anything going when he's always looking over his shoulder to see if he's going to get pulled after being on the court for 30 seconds. Against Carlton, Roberson looked terrible in the zone, you know, out of position multiple times, getting that quick hook, and it's an exhibition game. You know, hopefully, you know, something clicks with him in terms of how he's got to play that zone, because if Coleman can't come back, he's one of our few guys that we can put on that front line.
Yeah, you hope, you know, maybe he has kind of like Jeremy Grant. You know, he made a tremendous improvement from freshman to sophomore year, and you know, that's you always got to be hopeful of that with Roberson this year, because I think he is an important piece, because if he can't get it done, there's not a lot of options there.
Right. Question five, and this is a big one. What do we expect from Trevor Cooney? Virk?
I think his numbers are going to go down this year. I think his three-point percentage is going to go down. I think he's going to – last year, averaged 12.1 a game. I see him, you know, down around 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, last year, if you take away a couple games, you know, he had 9 threes against Notre Dame, I believe it was. He had a couple huge games. He flat out won the Notre Dame game for him.
Yep.
You know, he's obviously got that potential, but he's also a guy who, you know, he'd be wide open and, like, airball it from the three-point line. And, you know, he hasn't really been able to create his own shot yet. And, you know, he was playing 30 minutes a game last year. So,
yeah,
you know, he's been out there. He's got experience, you know, and he has the potential for some big games. But, you know, I think, like we just talked, I think Patterson's going to cut into his minutes a little bit. And, you know, I think he's going to miss Tyler Ennis a little bit. And, you know, some of those upperclassmen from last year who – took the pressure off of him. You know, when he's a good average role player, I guess. But now, you know, he's the leading returning scorer for Syracuse basketball. And, you know, I don't think that's a great thing for him.
What do you think, Brad? Is Cooney going to continue to mature and improve? Or is it going to be the same old Cooney?
I wrote down same as last year. I mean, he's got to drive the basketball. He's become really one dimensional, and I mean we've seen he can do it. He's a lot more athletic than people give him credit for. But you know, if we spend most of the season watching Trevor Cooney, you know, get in his crouch, ready to spot up for a 3-pointer, and you know, just move around the perimeter and not, you know, try and drive the lane or make cuts. Yeah, it's going to be the same thing over and over again.
Well, I got to tell you. You know, watching that Carlton game, he comes out and he's bricking every single side of that rim off for three. Christmas fed him on a nice backdoor pass where he had a wide open layup, and he hit it off the backboard so hard it didn't even hit the rim. It was a wide open layup. So it's tough, and it's weird because you've seen him have huge games, and then you see him miss a wide open layup where he doesn't even hit the rim. That stuff just doesn't make sense. He's a bit of an enigma. But I'll tell you what, I'm not ready to sit through 8 consecutive games of him shooting, trying to find his shot, where they say, well, shooters just got to keep on shooting. No way. Out of there. If I'm Boeheim and Cooney misses his first 2-3 shots of the game, I'm favoring Patterson. I'm putting Benajay at the 2. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, if we're in a situation maybe where we need some defense, then maybe you throw him back in there. But I'm going to give Cooney the quick hook if he's not making shots early in the game, because he's not the type of shooter that you just keep shooting and you make it. He's either on or off, and when he's off, it's terrible. I kind of like the kid too. I like his approach, the way he goes about it. I like the way he plays defense. I like the way he hustles, but it just comes down to putting the ball in the basket, or at least coming close to putting the ball in the basket. It's either all or nothing with Cooney. So, there's our first Big Five questions of the season, and I want to cover some news items here before we take our first break. Jim Boeheim's on Twitter, @TheRealJimBoeheim, so you might want to check that out if you're on Twitter. A little late to the game. Former Syracuse guard Deion Waiters stayed in the locker room for the national anthem and induction of the starting lineup before Wednesday's Cleveland Cavaliers game against the Utah Jazz, because he says he's a Muslim now. He since said that that was a miscommunication, and he will be back out there. But, you know, it's Deion being Deion.
Well, Yeah, apparently he told a couple news outlets but that was why. Now he's just saying that he just didn't make it out in time from his pregame routine. So
the whole Muslim thing was just a miscommunication.
Yeah. So who knows?
And that's fine if he wants to be if he's Muslim and that's really what he truly believes and stands by. But I don't know. It's just Deion. He's crazy.
Yeah.
And Brad, you like Deion's chances to work out with LeBron and the Cavs this year, long term?
I do. I think he's got a good role on that team. I watched most of their game the other night. I don't watch much NBA, and that I flipping around Friday night and saw the Cavaliers and the Nuggets. And I mean, he's got a role on that team, and it's a real meaningful role. And I don't know. There's a weird mix going on with LeBron and Kyrie Irving because Kyrie Irving's not exactly your pass first point guard, but. I mean, Deion's a shooter, and he's a slasher, and he fits in very well with that team. I like what he's done so far.
But the problem is Deion probably thinks he's better than LeBron.
He'll be traded
That's
by the
problem. I would agree.
He'll be traded by Christmas.
Hey, how about an update on our buddy Duan Coleman? He's 10 months now removed from his surgery to repair the cartilage in his left knee. Syracuse trainer Brad Pike says that Coleman is right on schedule in his recovery from surgery. Coleman also used a juice diet to drop from 282 to 255 pounds. He does look good in the pictures I've seen. And he lost that weight even though he wasn't able to run. He's been working out a lot in a pool. Everybody says he's keeping a good attitude, working hard. The earliest he could possibly return to the lamp would probably be mid-December. And, boy, what a nice surprise Virka would be if we could get Duan Coleman back, especially a slimmer version.
Yeah, obviously, you know, in his time at Syracuse, he's kind of been a disappointment, obviously, struggling as a freshman, then the injury last year. And, you know, it's hoped that that he comes back 100% healthy, because that was always a question, when, you know, was he banged up when he was playing? Lost a ton of weight. You know, it was always so frustrating to see him catch the ball in the post and some 6'4 guy would steal it from him when he would bring it down. But, you know, he can... You know, the guy's obviously got a ton of potential. He, you know, he's the guy who can play the five and the four. Not a bad, you know, 10, 12-foot shooter.
Yeah.
It's just odd to me that it's taken 10 months to recover from knee surgery. You know, you see guys in the NBA and NFL who, you know, they're back in a month sometimes from some stuff. Obviously, his was a little bit more serious, but it's just odd to me that he's been out this long and still really not running too much.
Yeah, apparently the nature of the injury is just that it was truly a career-threatening type of deal, and they're not even sure, you know, if he can come back. And it's too bad, because this is a guy that was on the NBA's radar, you know, coming out of high school. And, you know, what a good story it would be, though, if he does make a recovery and contributes to the team and, you know, comes back for a senior year and contributes. So we're pulling for DC, obviously. We could use that help in the middle. Quick recruiting update. Tyus Battle, a 6'5 junior combo guard from Gil St. Bernard's High School in Gladstone, New Jersey, narrowed his list of colleges to 11 this week. Syracuse made the cut, so stay tuned on him. VJ King, a top 20 rated 6'8 swingman from the class of 2016, has been offered a scholarship by Syracuse, and King plays on the same team that Frank Howard plays on this year. Howard's coming to Syracuse next year, point guard, and they're on the same team, so that might play to our advantage. And so a couple recruiting notes there. Upcoming schedule, Monday night, we got Adrian in the Dome, 7 p.m. tip-off, Time Warner Cable Television. For the final exhibition, and then on Friday, it's the opener of the 2K Classic at the Dome, Kennesaw State, 7 p.m., ESPN3. Then Sunday night, a week from tonight, when we'll be back to recap this one, it's Hampton against Syracuse at the Dome, 4 o'clock tip on ESPNU. Then we come back next Sunday night, talk about those two games, look at the week ahead, which will include some pretty serious games. We're playing California again at Madison Square Garden, 9 p.m. on ESPN2 on Thursday night. And then the winner of Iowa, Texas, or the loser of Iowa, Texas, if we should lose. And those games will be on ESPNU or ESPN2 on Friday night. So we're going to step aside for 60 seconds and hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, Brad will challenge us with some great Orange trivia on the season premiere of Connor's Corner. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Wisdom passed on from generation to generation. Welcome to Generations Bank.
The Newark Pilots. See tomorrow's Major League stars today. For more information, go to NewarkPilots.com.
Call the Finger Lakes Personal Injury Hotline at 315-568-0911. That's 315-568-0911. Mede, Maris, and Ricky, your hometown personal injury attorneys.
Hey, welcome back to the Upstate Orange Podcast on FingerLakes1.com and FingerLakes1.tv. Also streaming live on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel. Search for FingerLakes1.com. We're also on Stitcher.com and iTunes. And great season ahead here. And as usual, one of our favorite parts of the show is when Brad gives us some great orange trivia. We never know what it's going to be. Each week, it's a surprise to everybody, including our producer, Jeremy Hunt, who's working hard over there tonight. And what do you got for us this week, Brad, on the season premiere of Connor's Corners Trivia?
Yeah, so I've had 6-7 months to think about this, and you'd think I would have done a better job with coming up with something foundational to rock your guys' world with some trivia, but no, I don't have I've got some trivia. We'll see how well you guys do in the first time out. First thing, though, this was crazy, you guys. And I can sort of make this into trivia, but I saw this week, I read something. They were talking about coaching trees, you know, and the guys that had been assistant coaches for head coaches, and they, you know, send their guys out into the coaching world and you know, how successful they are as the sort of offspring of the head coach. And you know, we've talked about Boeheim's coaching tree and guys that have been his assistants and have gone on, and Rick Pitino is the one that comes up, and there's some others that have had moderate success. So Mike Krzyzewski, top coach in all of college basketball history, most wins, his coaching tree, and the guys that he has sent out into various head coaching jobs, and there's been quite a few of them, they've combined for 110 seasons of college basketball.
Wow.
The guys that have coached for Krzyzewski.
Mm-hmm.
How many Final Fours have those guys accumulated that he sent out into the field? So Mike Krzyzewski's had most Final Fours of any modern coach.
Sure, his coaching tree.
The days of John Wooden. Mike Krzyzewski's coaching tree.
Dawkins has never been there, has he? Johnny Dawkins, and neither's Tommy Amaker. Obviously, he's been at Harvard, right?
Mm-hmm. Mike Bray.
No, his Final Four is there, that's for sure. Wojciechowski's coaching somewhere, isn't he?
He's coaching Marquette now.
Is he?
First year.
Oh, wow.
I'd say none that I can think of.
Yeah, I'm going to answer zero.
You guys are correct. Accurate out of the chute. Zero Final Fours for the guys. And the couple guys that you hadn't mentioned, Quinn Snyder was at Missouri for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Chris Collins has been out now. I think he was at Northwestern. Obviously, they're not going to any Final Fours, but zero Final Fours of all of these guys. So all these guys come out and they, you know, have this great reputation because they coach for Coach K, and you know, everybody thinks you're going to do great things. None of them ever do.
Well, Amaker's so doing a great job.
Wojciechowski at Marquette, because you know they're saying how he's going to transform that program, et cetera, et cetera. But
he's recruiting well.
You don't see it. Yeah, that's the thing. He does, and a lot of the new guys, you know, come away and do, but they just don't. I mean, Tommy Amaker was at Seton Hall. He was at Michigan, and Michigan got better after he left.
Yeah, big time.
Harvard got better, too.
He's done a good job at Harvard.
Maybe these guys are good at academic schools and not basketball powers. I don't know. I mean, Mike Bray's had all the resources at Notre Dame, and he can't get it done.
He's the worst. He really is.
So that wasn't actually my trivia, but I thought that was interesting that I, when I came across that, I just wanted to throw that out as just sort of a jab at Duke. Anyway.
Okay.
So the real trivia, the real Syracuse trivia, obviously we've talked about the freshmen coming in, Caleb Joseph, Chris McCullough, is really the guys that are the, you know, we need to count on to be able to have success this season. Think about freshmen coming into Syracuse, and you know, obviously we've had some good ones over the last several years. But when you think of the freshmen when they make their debut as Syracuse Orange players – Who has the top four single game scoring totals, highest totals in their freshman debut? If I go top four, I found this. It only goes as high as four.
Well, Dave Bing never played for a freshman year for Syracuse because they had a freshman team back then. So we don't got to go back too far. These are mostly probably all modern history, right, Brim? Or semi-modern. We're getting old now. But
I don't think freshmen were playing until mid-70s, late-70s at the earliest.
Is it safe to say it's Boeheim era? Are all these answers
Boeheim
in the Boeheim
era? Probably a safe way to view it.
Okay, well, I know one of them was Carmelo's 32 against Memphis in his debut, right?
It wasn't 32.
28? 33?
It was 27, and he's second on the list.
Okay, so 27 points for Melo. That's one. There's three other guys, and one of them scored more than 27.
That's correct.
How about Lawrence Moten?
Lawrence Moten is not on the list.
No.
Tyler Ennis?
No.
It wasn't Michael Carter Williams because that was his sophomore year. I thought somebody recently. I thought somebody recently broke that record. Is the number one after Carmelo?
No. Oh yes, after Carmelo.
Yeah. So what the heck? A freshman after Carmelo.
Johnny Flynn.
I think you're right.
Johnny Flynn is correct.
That's why I got confused with Carter Williams. I knew it was a point guard.
Yeah, he had 28 or something?
28 points, yeah.
So there's two of them. I got one for you, Brad. Tony Red Bruin.
Tony Red Bruin is not on this list.
He's not? Okay, too bad. I thought maybe I'd take a shot.
It would be fun if he was, but no.
Derek Coleman?
No, not Derek Coleman. Dante. I didn't want Coleman either.
Dante Green?
No, incorrect.
All right, we're thinking freshman here who came in and had a big game. Wonder what McNamara did that same game that Melo had his big game. Did he have 20 or something in that game? Probably not.
No.
Okay, looking for freshman. The Pearl was never a huge score. Is the Pearl on there in his freshman debut? Did he do something big?
Pearl was fourth on this list. Okay. Pearl had 16 in his freshman debut against Colgate.
So then another freshman had between 16 and 27.
Paul Harris.
That's incorrect. I'm
thinking of freshman debuts. This is tough. Tough to think of. It's easy to think of a lot of freshmen. It's hard to remember their first game.
Yeah.
You probably should give us a little bit of a hint here on this last one.
This was in the 1990s.
Oh, Billy Owens.
Incorrect. Billy Owens' freshman year was 89.
John Walls.
John Walls is correct.
Wow.
17.
I like that. That's a good list of four guys.
Second, John Wallace and Pearl Washington.
That's a good list of four guys.
That is. I would like to see Chris McCullough and or Caleb Joseph crack that list.
You might.
Kennesaw State.
You might against Kennesaw.
So he's only got a score over 16, right? Did you say that was the low?
That's it.
Yeah, I think Caleb Joseph does it.
That could be a bold prediction, although I haven't included bold predictions in the script, if you notice that this year, because I think they kind of got ridiculous after a while. What do you guys think? Should we bring back the bold prediction, or should we?
Yeah. Every once in a while, we can bring it back.
It doesn't have to be a weekly segment.
Right.
Well, is that all the trivia you got for us this week, Brad?
Yeah, I got one more, but let me go with that.
All right.
Talking about freshmen again, who are the top five freshman scorers on a point per game?
Lawrence Moten.
Carmelo.
Carmelo, and then Lawrence Moten.
Lawrence Moten is second on the list. Carmelo's first, Lawrence Moten second.
Pearl Washington.
Pearl's fifth.
Jerry McNamara?
No, incorrect.
John Walls?
McNamara is sixth. He fell right below the list.
Because he had a few big games.
John Walls?
John Walls?
No, I don't think I think his average was probably 7 points a game that freshman year, wasn't it?
I thought
it was 11.
What about
11.1?
What about Coleman? His freshman year, they went to New Orleans.
He was 11.9. So Pearl averaged 14.4. He ranked fifth.
Dante Green.
Dante Green is correct.
No
He's
doubt.
Third, 17.7 a game.
Johnny Flynn.
Johnny Flynn's fourth. Yep, 15.7 per game.
And
first Moten. Well, you got five. So Mello's first, Moten second, Green third, Flynn fourth, Pearl fifth, and then Billy Owens was a close sixth.
What did Moten average as a freshman?
18.2.
Yeah.
Wow. Ennis averaged 12.9 last year. Tyler Ennis.
He averaged just under 18.
Well, it's good trivia, Brad. It's a good way to start the year.
Yeah, let's hope we've got some freshmen that can do some of those kinds of things for us this year.
Well, it's properly themed. That's a properly themed Connor's Corner this week as we're looking towards the freshmen as we head to the new season. Moving on, let's go to the list. And we do something different each week for the list segment. This week, I don't know if any of you guys listen to Colin Cowherd, but he likes to take teams like NFL teams or NBA teams and use three words to describe them, to describe the franchise. So I figured we'd do that with the orange roster. I'll go through and give you all my three word. You can only use three words to describe each player. And you guys can either agree, disagree, or give your own three words or whatever. But here we go. We'll start out with Caleb Joseph. Ready to dominate. I believe it.
Let's hope.
I believe it.
Bold prediction.
Yeah. Trevor Cooney. Same old Cooney. Tyler Roberson. Boeheim doghouse. Chris McCullough. One and done. What do you think? One and done?
That's what they're saying. I haven't seen a whole lot of them.
It's the way it goes.
Based on when we had lost some guys last year, nobody thought we were going to go. So they're all saying he's going to go. So I would think it'd be likely. You know, who thought Tyler Ennis?
Whether he produces or not, I think it's probably going to happen.
Who thought Tyler Ennis and Jeremy Grant wouldn't be on the team this year?
Jeremy Grant should be on the team this year. You know, he should still be here. Imagine what a difference that would make. Well, Michael Beninger. We haven't even mentioned Michael Beninger's name tonight. And it's crazy because my three words for Beninger are most important piece. He's going to need to step in and play anywhere from the four to the point guard. He's pretty well-rounded. We're not looking for him to lead any statistical categories, but he's going to contribute in all of them.
Yeah, I like him a lot. You know, and he'd be a guy who, you know, hopefully he can shoot a decent percentage from the three. You know, he's got great size. He handles the ball well. You know, and like you said, can play, you know, the four, you know, he's probably going to mostly 3-2-1 this year. And really, he's probably the primary backup point guard. He's really the primary backup two man.
Yeah.
You know, it's depending on what Patterson does. But yeah, he's definitely very important. I like that.
Versatile six man. Brad, you got high hopes for Beninger. You agree that he's the most important piece?
I do. My three words, I'll give you a quick bit of my three words on him. I said do it all. He needs to be that guy. He needs to be everywhere, and you know, he's gonna play the point. He's gonna be key in that zone. If he's up top in that zone, you got a 6'7" guy who's gonna extend. He's gonna have to play in the post occasionally when you know, because the depth in the post is not what it needs to be yet. And I think he's gonna have to do it all.
Just out of curiosity, what are your three words for Trevor Cooney and Rakeem Christmas?
For Trevor Cooney, I said make a shot.
What about Rack?
Rakeem Christmas, I said, it's about time.
Oh, that's good, too.
Or do it now, or it's never going to happen.
I didn't realize that you had given three names for each one, Brad. What did you say for, let's get you caught up. What about McCullough?
I did. This was fun. I enjoyed doing this. Yeah. Chris McCullough, I said, high-level performer.
Yeah, I like that. And Roberson?
Roberson, I said, rebound the basketball. He needs to be a rebounder. I don't need him to be a scorer this year, but he's got to be a rebounder.
And then Caleb Joseph.
I said, be a leader. I don't think that's where I think this team struggles a little bit. I don't think they've got a leader yet.
It's expected to be Rakeem, but you know.
Yeah, I think you have a tough time, you know, having your five man be your leader. You know, he's not going to be the guy with the basketball, yeah. You know, at clutch times unless somebody gets it to him. You know, it's usually your point guard or somebody that at least has the ball in their hand a lot.
So for Dewan Coleman, my three words are, I'll take anything, because at this point I think we're all kind of resigned to the fact that he's not going to be there. So anything he could contribute would be good. And you guys got three words for Coleman?
Get healthy soon.
Yeah, good. BJ Johnson, most likely transfer. I'm hard on BJ because he's such a gunner. He's out, you know. I don't see where he's going to fit in this year.
But and same with Patterson. You know, if these guys aren't going to play this year with the recruiting class they got coming in next year, they probably are going to be looking to transfer.
Yeah, and for Patterson, my three words are breakout sophomore season. So that's quite a contrast between Johnson and Patterson. And I don't want Johnson to transfer. I actually hope that he does contribute, but I haven't seen anything on the court over the past 2 years to where he looks like can fit in. He's just looks a little out of place out there. What are your three words for Johnson and Patterson, Brad?
Johnson, I said, hope you play, because I don't think he's going to play much at all.
Similar, yeah.
He's going to have to show something completely different than he showed last year to even get on the court. Ron Patterson, I said, will replace Cooney.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. I think by ACC season, I think Ron Patterson is going to play more minutes than Trevor Cooney.
So by replace, you mean he's going to get the lion's share of the minutes. I don't see that happening. Boeheim's, you know how Boeheim is, and he's going to stick with Cooney. Yeah. I just, like I said, if he's not shooting, get somebody else in there because, yeah, he plays good defense, but so does Benajay and Patterson. And I just can't go through a whole month of February waiting for the guy to find his shot. Chinoso Aboko, still major project. What do you got, Brad, for Chinoso?
I said for Chinoso Aboko, I said no Baikita. we try to compare him with Baikita. He's not that guy, and he will not be that guy for a long, long time.
But he can't
say what you will about his offensive skill. He was a leader on the court. Every time he was out there, he was high energy. He gave you everything he had. It's not to say Aboko won't be the high energy guy, but you know, he's a long way.
They say he's the best rebounder in practice, but, you know, it's a lot different than being out there on the court. And, you know, we could put a lot of pressure on the guy. Redshirt freshman, this is really like his freshman year. Big guys struggle in Boeheim's system. And, you know, anything we can get from Aboko this year will be good. I think there will be times when he will need to log some minutes. So, you know, let's see what he does. Hopefully he tries to play within himself, and we're not asking for anything offensively from Aboko. You know, just kind of play great defense and rebound and try not to get in the way out there. So, you know, that's a list segment. Heading out, we got two for the road. Going to ask you guys first off here, who's going to be our three leading scorers this season? Verk?
I think...
in order.
I think Joseph is our leading scorer this year.
Okay.
And then I think McCullough comes in number two and Christmas three.
Mm-hmm. Two freshmen and a senior. Brad, what do you got?
I think by the end of the season, Chris McCullough is going to be the leading scorer on this team. I think Michael Benajay is going to be the second leading scorer on this team. He's going to be 10 to 12 points a game. I think, you know, he's going to be in almost all game at up top or down low. He's going to have a spot somewhere. And I think Christmas third. As much as I like Joseph, and I you know, based on obviously the scrimmage against Carlton, he can score the basketball. I don't think we can question that. But I think as we get into the season, I think he'll end up being more of a distributor than a scorer, and I can see him being, you know, 8 to 10 a game probably, but more on the assist and getting Christmas active, getting McCullough involved down low. I think that's where his role will be.
Yeah, I got one, Chris McCullough. I think he's going to be the guy. I think he's scoring a variety of ways. I think he's going to log a ton of minutes, and I think he's, if you're looking at NBA prospect type of guy, I think he's the one. So I got him leading the team at scoring probably somewhere around 15 points a game. And then I got Caleb Joseph second. He's going to also play 36 minutes a game. He's going to have the ball in his hand. He likes to score. He can tell he can drive. He can pull up. He's a scorer. He's a score first point guard, where Ennis was a pass first point guard. Not that Joseph isn't going to pass the ball, but at the end of the year, he's going to be our second leading scorer at probably about 12.3 points a game. And then third place, I think it's going to be Cooney. I think, you know, Cooney's going to be in the game at the end. He's going to get a lot of points at the free throw line. You know, he's our best free throw shooter percentage-wise. So he's going to get a lot of garbage points there. You know, he's going to be in there. He's going to be scoring points. You know, hopefully a lot of three-pointers. But so I got a little faith left in Cooney, enough to put him at 30. He's going to average around 12 points a game, too. Just edging out Rakeem Christmas, who's probably going to average around 10 a game, regardless of, you know, the fact they're going to go to him more. He's not a scorer. He's just not a natural scorer. So that's my top three. It's the only difference, I think. Our Verk, you didn't have Minnejay in there, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so we each had a little bit of difference. We will obviously at the end of the year look back and see how we did on our predictions, as we like to do. But for now, let's move on to number two. And we got to give our official preseason prediction, fellas, here for the Orange. Here, as we're less than a week away from the season opener against Kennesaw State in the 2K Classic, where it's either win or lose to get to MSG. You know, they're in a tournament. If they lose, it doesn't matter.
They move on no matter
right,
what.
Right, yeah. How's it feel to Kennesaw State?
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, and Hampton. But, yeah, official preseason prediction, guys. I'll give mine first. I think we're going to lose a few games here. The ACC's tough. But at the end, this is a Boeheim team that's low expectations and high performance. I like the pieces. Let's avoid major injuries and academic or off-the-court issues that have plagued us kind of over the past few years. We're going to go to the Elite Eight. We're going to finish with a 27-10 mark. I really wanted to say we're going to win the national championship, and I think we can, but I think if we made it to the Sweet 16, I think most people would say good season. You know, Sweet 16, compete near the top of the ACC, you know, win 25 to 30 games. I think people would say it's a successful year. But my official prediction, 27-10, Elite Eight. Verk?
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with you. You know, I think, you know, most of the preseason things got us, you know, 4 or 5 in the ACC. Obviously got Duke bringing in that freshman class. Carolina's highly rated. Louisville this year.
Yeah,
ACC's stacked up pretty good. There's some crappy teams, obviously, who we're going to, you know, hopefully beat up on. And, you know, I like your prediction. You know, you're saying 27-10, Elite Eight. I'm thinking along the lines of a Sweet 16. You know, I think we're right in that area, you know, 26-11, somewhere in there. Get, you know, 5-6 seed in the tournament. And a nice competitive season. We'll have some big wins, but I could also see this team losing to some, you know, not so great teams as well. Just being so young and not a lot of scoring on this team, so it'll be interesting. And you know, I know we all hope that you know, we've been saying this kind of the team that Boeheim seems to do well with over the year, like the '96 team, something along that line. I just don't know. I don't think they have a John Wall or somebody, you know, that big, big leader that they've had over the when they've made these runs to the Final Four.
Unless a guy like McCullough is better than we think, because you haven't had a look at him yet. We're sitting here talking about these guys. We really don't know what we're dealing with.
I honestly haven't seen McCullough play much at all, and that's, you know, that's why I haven't said a whole lot about him, because I really, you know, he's potentially supposed to be really, really good, but then they say he's raw. You know, it's you know, you see a lot of these guys who play for some of these other schools who come in with all this potential, you know, average 7-8 points a game, and they go to the NBA and never hear from them again.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, his season goes a little bit different than that.
All right, Brad, give me your official prediction.
similar to you guys. So I did some math. As you say, I like my numbers. So there's 31 regular season games. I think they'll, at the end of the regular season, be 22-9. And ACC tournament, I think we'll see again that they'll lose in the first round.
At Greensboro.
At Greensboro, because nobody cares about the ACC tournament in Greensboro, North Carolina. But then they get to the NCAAs, and I think they go to the Sweet 16, so they'll be 2-1 there. And you add it all up, they'll be 24-11 with a Sweet 16.
Okay.
When is the Big East tournament moving?
Greensboro this year. You mean ACC, right?
Yeah.
Greensboro this year, Washington next year, and then MSG, I think, New York City in 3 years.
Or was it Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, not MSG. Brooklyn? It's Brooklyn. It's the Barclays.
Yeah.
Got to get that thing to MSG. But, well, guys, thanks for it. What's that, Brad?
I said someday I'll get there. Soon enough.
It's not soon enough. Someday, but not soon enough.
The Big East has it under contract, like 2018 or something, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, how about that Syracuse football team?
Tough loss to Duke.
Oh, man, it's so sad. But that's another reason why we're happy basketball season's here. And
how about the soccer team?
Yeah, how about the soccer team? Number one in the country, Brad. Syracuse soccer.
I heard that. Yeah.
Stay tuned on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, the Upstate Soccer Podcast. FingerLeagues1.tv. Hey, I'm actually looking forward to watching these guys. I've watched a few of their games on Time Warner Cable this year. And, you know, if they make a run in the postseason, they're going to be on quite a bit. I'm looking forward to watching those games. And I do like watching World Cup soccer, so it's nice now to have a rooting interest on the college level for soccer. And hopefully the program continues to be good. We should take the girls up to a game,
yeah,
Burke.
We should.
We'll have to wait till next year, unless there's a home.
Yeah,
I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. Yeah, guys, thanks for joining us. We'll be back here next week. And for another great year here, you can subscribe to our feed on iTunes or Stitcher or on YouTube or via RSS. For my co-hosts Matt Verkey and Brad Connor, our producer Jeremy Hunt, I'm Jim Sinacropi. See you next time, and let's go Orange.